you have the assurance that you are never alone because God promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Let's give God some praise for his ever presence in our lives. Good morning, St. John. It's good to see you today on this, our Team Spirit Sunday. While this is a different year for celebrating Team Spirit Sunday, and while many could argue that this year we don't have the same kind of spirit with Team Spirit Sunday, let me tell you some of the blessings. Even though I agree with you, the spirit is low on this Team Spirit Sunday. Let me tell you the blessings. Bobby, stand up. Bobby Ingram, one of the coaches for the Baltimore Ravens. Stand up, Bobby. He was blessed. Hold on. Let me tell you. Don't rush the shout. Let me tell you why we're praising God today. Bobby and several others from the Ravens were invited to go down to participate as coaches in the Pro Bowl last weekend. Amen. And he made us proud, and so we thank God for him. Let me tell you what God is doing, how this year is a little different for Team Spirit Sunday. You know, on most Team Spirit Sundays, certain jerseys disrupt my spirit in worship. Most years on Team Spirit Sundays, so when I see Steeler jerseys, it just does something to disrupt my worship spirit. But this year, I'm kind of numb to it. I saw Herb with his steel, and I felt indifferent this year because certain teams aren't represented in the Super Bowl. And so I will tell you, my team has a couple of years they've got to rebuild. And so during the rebuilding years, next year I'm rooting for the Ravens to take it all the way. I'm rooting for Lamar and the Bad Boys of Baltimore to do the doggone thing and bring the championship back home. Now, after next year, then we'll have the Patriots resume their rightful place on top of the mountain. But for next year, we want the Ravens to bring it back home. It's also good to see Michelle Rose Brown, our finance and operations ministry vice chair. She had a procedure a week or so ago, and God has blessed her, and it's good to have her here in the house of the Lord. It's also good to see Landry Hatcher. Where's Landry? I saw, stand up, Landry. Landry is living in Los Angeles, and he surprised his mother yesterday to see her in the play, The Raisin in the Sun. And so we thank God for him and for bringing him home. It's also good to have our worshipers in the fellowship hall. God bless you and God keep you. This is our Team Spirit Sunday. And so to help us to unpack that theme, we want to draw your attention to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. In your spare time and in your quiet time during this week, we invite you to read the entire chapter, particularly verses 1 through 8. But in the interest of time, we're just going to shine the sermonic spotlight on verses 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And we're going to be reading from the King James Version. Hear these words from the Word of God. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the applying of this his holy and most righteous word. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father and our God, if you will, we ask that you might let the very words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts to be acceptable in thy sight, for you are our strength and you are our redeemer. Let all the people of the Lord say amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. For a few moments today, we just want to hang these words on the hinges of your mind. Get in the game that delivers. Get in the game that delivers. In our text for today, I wonder what was the motivating factor that caused Isaiah to get in the game that delivers. I mean, the Bible says that he was in the temple one day. And as and while he was in the temple, he saw a vision. And after he saw a vision, he heard a voice. And then he overhears a question. And the question was, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Now, at this point, church, Isaiah had a whole lot of options as to how he could respond to this question. Because he could have just ignored the question. And he could have acted like he didn't hear what was being asked. He could have acted like he didn't hear the invitation that was being offered. He could have just gone about his business and ignored what had been said. Or he could have said, "Who me?" like Moses. I mean, you do remember that when God called Moses, Moses said, wrong number. Because he said, "I don't speak well. I've got a stammering tongue. And then to make bad matters worse, I've got a criminal record. So you can't be talking to me." Or he could have said, "Not me like Jonah." You remember God told Jonah, I want you to go down to Nineveh land. I want you to go down to a place where folk hate you and you hate them. And I want you to preach to them. I want you to save them. I want you to love them. And Jonah said the opposite of what Ray Charles used to say, because he said, "God, you got the wrong one, baby. Because I'm going to the other side. I'm going in the opposite direction. I'm not going anywhere near Nineveh." Or he could have said, "Why me like Mary?" Because when God called Mary, he told her, "You're going to have a son. But you're not going to have just any old son. You're going to have the Son of the Living God." And when he told Mary what was going to happen, Mary said, "Why me? I'm just a teenager. Why me? I've not even known a man." But just despite all of Isaiah's options, Isaiah didn't say, "Who me?" Isaiah didn't say, "Why me?" Isaiah didn't say, "Not me." But Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." Church, while Isaiah was in the temple that day, he saw a vision. He heard a question. He heard a cry. He heard a request for help. And immediately he said, "God, I'll get in the game, because here am I, send me." Now, church, here's what I've discovered. Here's what I've discovered. Many of us are waiting on somebody. And everybody is looking for anybody. But many times, the person that does it is nobody. And so, church, here's my question. Here's my question. What would happen in St. John Baptist Church? What would happen in this household of faith if more people decided to get the same kind of spirit that Isaiah had? What would happen if more folk at St. John would say that you heard God's voice? and you saw the need, and you heard the question, and as a consequence, you got in the game. See, church, if you did what Isaiah did, you discover that God, first of all, wants to deliver you. And he wants to deliver you so that he can use you to deliver somebody else. God wants to save you. And after he saves you, he wants to use you to save somebody else. God wants to forgive you so that after he forgives you, he can use you to tell somebody else that he can forgive them as well. Is there anybody here who knows that God wants to help you so that he can use you to help somebody else? He wants to provide for you so that he can use you to provide for somebody else. He wants to open a door for you so that he can use you to tell somebody else that he can open the same door for you. That's why the songwriter said, it is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. He'll do the same thing for you. And so at some point in your life, every child of God ought to rise up out of your seat and get in the game and give God your best and say, God, if you stand with me, I'll stand. If you step with me, I'll step. If you go with me, I'll go. If you speak for me, I'll speak. And if you do, then no matter what's going on in your life, if you get in the game, no matter how heavy your burden may be, if you get in the game, no matter how dark your day might be, you'll be able to stand and declare, like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. declared, that in the name of Jesus, we shall overcome someday. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because we serve a God who overcomes. We serve a God who overcomes. Now Isaiah, he didn't have to get in the game. God didn't put his arm behind his back. God didn't knock his door down and make Isaiah get in the game. So Isaiah didn't have to get in the game, but thank God, Isaiah shows us what it's like to willingly and lovingly get in the game. And watch Isaiah, church. He got in the game in spite of a whole lot of stuff. Isaiah got in the game in spite of a whole lot of stuff. In other words, for example, Isaiah got in the game even though no one called his name. Isaiah got in the game in spite of the fact that no one called his name. Now, God does know how to call your name. You remember when God called Moses? Matter of fact, God called Moses. He had to call his name two times. He had to say, Moses, Moses. You remember when God called Saul? God had to call Saul's name two times. And so God knows how to call your name. And it was probably, I think, can I use my sanctified imagination? I believe that one of the reasons that God calls our name sometimes more than once is because God knows that he's got some hard-headed folk in the house of God. And God knows that it takes hard-headed folk a little longer to respond. And so before Isaiah responded, what's interesting is that nobody called his name. And then when Isaiah said, I'll go, when Isaiah responded in the affirmative, he didn't even know if he was really qualified. When Isaiah got in the game, he didn't even really know if he was really qualify. I mean, he didn't know who was calling him. He didn't know how many people were calling him. He didn't know the job description. He didn't know if he was going to get paid when he went. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know if he was able to do it. But despite all that Isaiah didn't know, he heard the question from on high, and he stood up and said, God, here am I, send me. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because Isaiah had a willing spirit and said, I'll go. And so Isaiah got in the game in spite of a whole lot of stuff. But not only did Isaiah get in the game in spite of a whole lot of stuff, Isaiah also got in the game that delivers because of a whole lot of stuff. Not just in spite of a whole lot of stuff, but Isaiah got in the game because of a whole lot of stuff. In fact, he got in the game because of the vision. He got in the game because of the vision. And when he saw the vision, when he got in God's presence, he said to himself, I can't get enough of God. I can't get enough of his presence. I can't get enough of being in the presence of the Lord. And I just wonder, is anybody here who's ever been in that kind of situation? Is anybody here who's ever been in the presence of the Lord? And when you got in the presence, somebody may have tried to take you out, but you said, no, I got to stay here for a minute, because I got to linger in the presence of the Lord. That's why sometimes when you come in the church, sometimes when you come in the house of God, sometimes when you come into the sanctuary, you may come into the sanctuary looking at your watch. You may come in the sanctuary thinking about what time the game comes on. But when the Lord shows up, when the Lord steps in, when the Lord manifests his presence, you forget about the watch, you forget about the game, you forget about brunch, and you just think about being in the presence of the Lord. In fact, that's why some of us are here right now. That's why some of us keep coming back to church every Sunday, because if church was something you could get enough of, you'd only come to church on one Sunday throughout the year. And you'd say to yourself, that's enough. But when you get in God's presence, you say to yourself, that's mighty good. When you get in your presence, you say, that's mighty nice. When you get in God's presence, you say, I can't get enough of the presence of the Lord. That's why the old folks used to say that I don't just want to be in his presence on Sunday. I don't just want to be in his presence in the sanctuary, but I want to learn how to be in his presence in my bedroom. I want to learn how to be in his presence in the kitchen. I want to learn how to be in his presence while I'm driving my car. I want to learn how to be in his presence in the boardroom. I want to learn how to be in his presence in the hospital, because when I get in the presence of the Lord, I can't get enough of him. Is there anybody here who can testify that you just can't get enough of the Lord? In fact, that's why you're still serving. That's why you're still worshiping. That's why you're still praising. That's why you're still giving, because you can't get enough of the Lord. Would you high five your neighbor real quick and tell your neighbor, I just can't get enough of him. Somebody ought to give God some praise today, because every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And so Isaiah got in the game that delivers because of a whole lot of stuff. He got in the game because of the vision. But lastly, church, he got in the game that delivers not only because of the vision. He lastly got in the game that delivers because of his newfound virtue. He got in the game that delivers because of his newfound virtue. The Bible says that one of the seraphims flew from the altar and took a hot coal from the altar and laid that coal on Isaiah's lips. And the angel said, "Thy sin is purged." And Isaiah must have said to himself, he must have said as a result of what just happened to him, Isaiah must have said, because of this newfound virtue, that I owe the Lord. When his sins got purged, when that coal was placed on his lips, Isaiah must have said to himself that I sure enough owe the Lord. And church, whether you know it or not, whether you know it or not, you owe the Lord because of his sacrifice. You and I owe the Lord because of his sacrifice. I mean, how much is it worth for the agony that the Lord undertook when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane? How much was it worth when he took the whippings on his way to Pilate's courtroom? How much is it worth for him to endure letting them put nails in his hand and nails in his feet? How much is it worth for them to put a spear in his side? How much is it worth to pay for the lashes that he took so that he could die on an old rugged cross for your sins and mine? How much is it worth for him to lay his head in the locks of his shoulders and to commit his spirit to God? How much is it worth for him to hang on a cross after doing nothing wrong, and after all the world did to him, for him to say, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing"? Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise because of what the Lord has done for you? You owe him because of his sacrifice. And then, church, no matter what he's about to ask you to do, it doesn't compare to what you ought to pay for because of what God has already done for you. Church, it doesn't matter what he's about to ask you to do. It doesn't matter where he's about to ask you to go. It doesn't matter what he's about to ask you to say, because it doesn't compare to what he's already done in your life. Because whatever he asks you to do, he's already done a whole lot more. Because if he asks you for food, he's the one that made the seed, that grew the plant, that made the food. If he asks you to give your life to him, that's all right, because he's the one who sent his son Jesus to die for your sins that you might live. If he asks you for a tithe, just remember that's all right, because he lets you keep the rest of the 90%. If he asks you for your talent, that's all right, because he's the one who's responsible for giving you your talent. If he asks you for some time to worship and serve him in the church, don't feel impossessed. Don't feel like he's imposing on you, because he's the one that holds time in the palm of his hand. If he asks you for some treasure, don't feel like he's imposing on you. Just remember that he's the one who put the gold in the ground, and he's the one who made the hills where the ground and the gold is kept. If he asks you for some clothes, don't feel like he's asking too much, because just remember that he's the one who made the sheep, who made the wool, who made the suit in the first place. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because whatever he's asked you to do, he's already done more. Okay. Let me come get you. It doesn't matter what he asks you for. And it doesn't matter what he asks you to do. You ought to give it to him. And you ought to do it for him, because God has been your supply. I said, God has been your supply. That's why Paul said a long time ago in Philippians chapter 4, 19, Paul said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. Now let me tell you where the shout is right there. Aren't you glad that Paul didn't say, my God might supply? Aren't you glad that Paul didn't say, my God could supply? But he said, my God shall supply. And then notice he didn't say he'll supply some of your needs. Notice he didn't say he'll supply a little of your needs. Notice he didn't say he'll supply a majority of your needs. But the real shout today is that he said he'll supply all of your needs. And when Paul said all, Paul meant all. But here it is. Paul said, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory. But I can do better than that. Because while Paul said, my God shall supply, here's what makes me shout. Here's what makes me jump off out of my seat. When I think about what God has done, I can't stop it. My God shall supply. But I get excited because my God has supplied. Not shall, but my God has, because our God has supplied. So you don't have to wait for tomorrow. You don't have to wait for next week. You don't have to wait for next year to do what God wants you to do, because my God has supplied all of your needs. And if you don't believe me, let me prove it to you. Because if you got food on your table, if you got clothes on your back, if you got a roof over your head, if you got a reasonable portion of health and strength, if you're here in your right mind, if you got a family that loves you, and if you got friends that support you, and if you're saved by the blood of the Lamb, then my God has supplied all of your needs. Is there anybody here who can testify that my God has supplied all of your need? Well, if God has supplied all of your need, somebody ought to say, like Isaiah said, here am I, send me. But let me tell you the 2020 translation. Somebody ought to say, God, here am I, I'm reporting for duty. Here am I. You don't have to force me, just send me. You don't have to make me, just send me. You don't have to plead to me, just send me. You don't have to force me, just send me. You don't have to make me, just send me. Cause here am I, send me. Cause I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll say what you want me to say, and I'll be what you want me to be, and I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll serve where you want me to serve, and I'll give what you want me to give. And church, I'm so glad that when you get in the game that delivers, God will bless your life. God will open doors for you. God will make a way out of no way. God will help you to climb up the rough side of the mountain. God will dry tears from your eyes. God will be with you in the midnight hour. God will do just what he said. Is there anybody here who came to give God some praise? Because when you get in the game, God will love you. God will forgive you. God will sustain you. God will bless you. Won't it do it? Won't it do it? If you believe it, say yeah. If you know it, say yeah. If you're glad about it, then let's give God the glory, and let's give God the honor, and let's give God the praise, and say hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Because God will take care of you. Let's stand, let's stand. Let's stand all over the church. Let's stand.